faced with this new reality where cultures clash, it's inevitable that some will seek a comfort in nationalism or tribe or ethnicity or sect. So just as we have to have an inclusive economic strategy, we have to have an inclusive political and cultural strategy.
The divisions laid bare by this election run deep. But please listen to me when I say this. America is worth it. Our children are worth it. Believe in our country, fight for our values, and never, ever give up.
And while I can't stand here and speculate about what policies our president-elect will pursue, I will tell you this. In the time that I have spent in public life, one of the things I have learned is that some issues look a little bit different when you're actually in office compared to when you're on the campaign trail. No one should doubt the overwhelming majority of the citizens of the United States who know climate change is happening and who are determined to keep our commitments that were made in Paris.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Thursday. It's November 17th, and it's 2016, 5:10 in the morning. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day. Listening to the opening montage there of different news bites from around the world, I think of the business of life and the life of business. Specifically, though, the business of life this morning jumped off of the newspaper, off of the computer at me this morning. Stephen Hawking, who is, of course, you know, one of the world's leading scientists and thought leaders, is today saying that America, humans in every country, will not survive another 1,000 years without escaping beyond the planet. Stephen Hawking sounding another warning today about a dire warning about how human achievement has caused this planet to be in a sick nature. Climate change, yes, he says. Who cares what causes it? It's being caused, and it's happening. And if we don't do something about it, he says, we have less than 1,000 years on this planet. So there you go. Good morning. Also this morning, that's a very dire warning from Stephen Hawking, who has also suggested that if aliens do ever find us, they will eat us or come to destroy us, just the way he says the universe works. Some deep thoughts this morning, but still something to consider as we hear the words of Secretary of State John Kerry on climate change. That, of course, from the Paris Agreement, which is ongoing, the Paris Accord. They're meeting in Morocco, and they're trying to put into work now this Paris Agreement that includes all of these countries. I believe it's 192 countries. Donald Trump, who says he doesn't believe in climate change, has vowed to pull out of the Paris Agreement. Everyone and their brother is saying that would be a mistake. Even China this morning urging the United States to stay the course on this, to sort of reduce climate change, reduce carbon emissions, and try to save the planet. We'll be hearing more about the Paris Agreement in the coming days. Also this morning on the WGN Associated Market Desk, we'll see the Dow futures are pointing a little bit higher this morning, but not much, up about 21 points. The S&P is up about 3.5. The NASDAQ futures are up just a little bit as well, up about 16 points around the world this morning. The market's generally mixed in Europe and in Asia this morning, generally mixed as well. The Nikkei off about just a couple of points, not even flat this morning as we head toward the end of trading there. And in Europe also, the DAX and the CAC fighting to stay in positive territory. But again, Dow futures pointing lower now in the U.S., off about 54 points as we head on to the opening bell. Today is Thursday. Of course, that means it's time for our Associated Bank Thought Leader segment. And joining us again in studio, we're back to square one, or back to peg one, is Breck Hansen. He's the vice chairman at Associated Bank. One of our thought leader discussions today is going to focus on just a bunch of different things. We've heard about how Donald Trump might hurt the economy, how he might help the economy, how he might help real estate, help manufacturing. We did a little bit of numbers crunching before our episode today, and we found that nearly $1 trillion was lost in world markets in the hours right after the election of Donald Trump. That's money that is trying to be earned back. There was a little bit of a rally after that. But, Breck, we thought we'd bring you in this morning and ask you what you think of all of this and whether we should be as worried or nervous as people say. What are you saying? What do you think?
There's no question that with the programs that Donald Trump had advertised that he'd put into place as president. If those programs, and people are assuming they will happen or may happen if they happen, there's no question that it's fueled the economy and fueled the stock market in the way it has. In particular, important to me, financial stocks because of the comments he's made on regulation. And then, of course, as we look at energy and those kind of things and military, we've seen military stocks, we've seen construction stocks, we've seen automobile stocks rise, and we've seen some of those grain-related stocks take a hit.
Let's talk a little bit about a few of those. First, bank stocks have done okay over the last week or so since Election Day. Investors seem to like the fact that maybe some of these regulations will be dialed back. Give us a sense, in our audience, a sense, since you're right there with your ear to it, what that would mean for the banking industry with regulations dialed back.
Well, what's happened since Dodd-Frank was instituted was a regulation boom, let's say, that has affected the entire banking industry. And I think the layman probably doesn't understand, but that a lot of the, a lot of our own input has been taken out of, let's say, loan decisions, and that a lot of loan decisions have been made on metrics and not necessarily on what especially the small businessman has relied on, which is his or her character and his or her track record and ability to pay. I have a good friend who owns Small Commuter Airlines, who has owned this airline for 7 or 8 years, never missed a payment, always been on time. And his bank loan is up for renewal, and because of the ratios that loan carries from a coverage standpoint that don't match what the regulations want it to be, and the capital that the bank would have to carry to renew this loan, he's been told to go find another place. Now, that being said, we talk about low interest rates today, but in a conversation with him earlier this week, he's secured by airplanes. He's got federal government leases on those airplanes. And through a factoring company, he's paying close to 28% on his money. Oh. And this is an individual that, as I said, has never missed a payment and personally guarantees and has a financial statement to support it. But because of the regulations, the bank just can't fit that loan into the right hole.
We're talking about the aftermath of the Donald Trump election, both positive and negative, with Breck Hansen, the vice chairman at Associated Bank. It's our weekly thought leader conversation on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Some stocks of local interest that we're paying very close attention to today, some of them higher, some of them lower. First, let's start with Archer Daniels Midland, which we've been watching all week. It is just a little bit lower this morning, off about a quarter of a percent. Allstate is off about a half a percent. Boeing is off more than a percent. One of the decent performers today, CDW Corporation of Chicago, is up about 2.5%, and CNA Financial is up this morning. It's 5:21.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Stocks ended lower Wednesday as banks returned some recent gains, but technology and consumer shares climbed. The Dow slid 55 points to 18,868. The S&P 500 lost 3.5 points, but the NASDAQ composite picked up 19. Target beat Wall Street expectations for the third quarter, helped by a strong back-to-school season. Despite declines in store traffic, the retailer also raised its sales outlook for the upcoming holiday shopping season. A strong dollar made this a tough year for the nation's manufacturers, but the Federal Reserve reports that U.S. factory output rose slightly last month, driven along by increased production of automobiles, home electronics, and appliances. And Alaska Airlines is hoping to become a major player on cross-country routes from the West Coast. The airline already offers service from San Diego to Boston and Orlando and begins flights to Newark Liberty on Monday. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program 522 as we continue our morning pre-dawn conversation, our thought leader conversation this morning with Associated Bank's Vice Chairman Breck Hansen, generally talking about issues related to the election of Donald Trump. Breck, before the break, we were talking about some of the banking stocks that were a little bit higher, and some we were seeing may be higher because of thought that there could be a little bit of deregulation, but couldn't that lead to higher fees for consumers?
Could. And I think it's a quick balance. You know, the point is that we've been restricted on fees because of some consumer laws, and I think that the deregulations will allow us to do that. But remember, we're still going to be in a competitive marketplace, and I would think that the ability to make loans again, the fact that the yield curve has steepened, which gives us a little more flexibility on the funding side. There'll be ways to make money again if regulation is lifted, and those fees may not be as big a factor as some people may want you to think.
Let's go through a couple of the things that are on top of people's minds right now. First of all, we hear a lot about inflation fears. When you hear that line, and I use it a lot, I'm afraid to say in my newscast, inflation fears seem to be driving some in the market. What does that mean?
Well, I think that inflation fears to the everyday consumer is probably higher interest rates and certainly a higher cost of living. Now, it's interesting when you hear Donald Trump, because he's kind of talked both sides of this.
Yeah,
Trump's a real estate guy, and the real estate business is driven on borrowing money. And the lower those interest rates are, the better it is to build and create value when you're borrowing money, and Trump has said that. Now, the flip side of that, Trump has also said that he feels that the current administration has kept rates down artificially to fuel the stock market. And I think that as time goes on, I think that if we see interest rates increases, given Trump's straddle of that and what we've even read with the current administration, that it will be relatively small. I don't look at it taking off.
We're also seeing the European Central Bank and also the Federal Reserve, some in that body, suggesting that maybe this December interest rate hike is off now, off the table, or potentially under discussion again when everybody thought it was a done deal, and the European Central Bank maybe rediscussing some stimulus that had been planned.
Well, Steve, I comment on that in one way. We budgeted the last 4 or 5 years at the bank for a slight interest rate increase. And for the last 4 or 5 years at the bank and in most financial institutions that have budgeted that way, we've been wrong.
Yeah.
So you say it's off the table and they've been talking about it. Very likely could be. As a banker, we probably could use a little bit of relief and a little bit, but we're talking 25, 50 basis points, you know, and that hardly affects home mortgages, much less other things.
I tend to put that more on Federal Reserve than Donald Trump and their wishy-washiness, if you will.
Well, Trump has accused the Federal Reserve as taking political positions. I don't know if that's true. My guess is the Federal Reserve, depending on how he handles it, will probably stay the course and hopefully not take that political position.
You talked about Donald Trump being a real estate guy. He's talked a lot about infrastructure. There's no doubt in this country our infrastructure is failing, has been failing. But do we have the money to fix it, and where would that come from?
Well, first of all, let me tell you what I like. And there are a number of things, obviously, that we could sit and criticize behaviors of Donald Trump over the past. But my experience with real estate people is they can make decisions. They're not people, given the fact that they're project-oriented, that tend to kick the can down the road. So I think with Trump as the lead guy, you're going to see action rather than non-action. As a real estate guy and talk about infrastructure, remember that that's the one thing that the Dems or Hillary really were in favor of, too, was to really go in and work on our roads, our bridges, our schools, our defense, what have you. Now, Trump's plan, the way I understand it, you know, and you asked, do we have the money, is to privatize a lot of this where we can, roads, bridges, et cetera, meaning that he'd provide tax credits, create jobs. I think he's talking in terms of $1 trillion over the next 10 years, which would be $100 million a year, that would start to build the infrastructure he's talking about. And with the tax credits, allow private industry to pay for a lot of that. That would create a myriad of jobs. I think he's talked about 25 million new jobs over the next 10 years, and certainly this infrastructure move will lead towards that, and offset a lot of the tax cuts, theoretically, and, you know, this is all theoretically, that have been talked about.
A lot of folks in business and in politics and even outside of those areas all say, let's give President-elect Trump the benefit of the doubt. Let's see what he's going to do, and then be worried when things don't go the way we want. Is that a pretty good way to proceed from here?
Well, I'm kind of hoping we don't worry, but I think it's clearly too early to tell. You know, you've heard the term good Trump, bad Trump, and you're kind of hoping that he becomes presidential. And, you know, less than a week into it, it has a relatively good feel to it, but I would hope this country would at least give him a chance. I mean, it's our choice at this point.
Good of you to be back with us. It's hard to believe a month has already gone by. Look forward to seeing you again in a month.
Thank you, sir. Good to chat.
Brick Hansen is the vice chairman of Associated Bank, our thought leader discussion for today. You can see and hear all of our thought leader conversations online at WGNradio.com.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. You just heard Victor talking about our temperatures. Get this, in California this morning, Southern California, they're actually wearing sweaters and coats, so lows in the 40s. As they begin the morning there, that's used to folks there used to the 70s. It gives you a sense of just the weird, wacky temperature swings across the country this morning. Hard to imagine lows in the 40s in Southern California. Some news that's happening in the world of business we want you to be aware of today. The holiday shopping season just around the corner, and it could be very strong for some online retailers. ABC News correspondent Richard Davies.
The research firm Comscore predicts online shopping will get off to a very strong start, up more than 10% compared to last year on Cyber Monday alone. That's the Monday after Thanksgiving, which is usually the busiest day of the year for online retailers. The National Retail Federation expects a stronger holiday shopping season this year than last. In the weeks leading up to Christmas, Comscore says internet shopping could jump by as much as 19%, nearly one in five purchases now done online. Richard Davies, ABC News.
The government of Mexico has a message for migrants living in the U.S., as we hear from ABC News correspondent Alex Stone in Los Angeles.
That message? Stay calm.
No caigas en provocaciones.
In a video posted on Twitter, Mexico's foreign minister is speaking directly to migrants living in the U.S., telling them these are uncertain times, but she never mentions President-elect Trump by name. In the video, the Mexican government announces it's setting up a hotline where any incidents can be reported and says steps are being taken now in Mexico's embassy and its consulates in the U.S. to help Mexicans avoid being victims of fraud and abuse. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
If you don't have National Geographic on your Instagram feed, what are you waiting for? 59 million followers, well over a billion likes, that's with a B,
And there's a new book out just in time for the holidays that if you're an animal lover, a Nat Geo lover, you have to have. It's called At Nat Geo, the most popular Instagram photos. And with us this morning, one of the photographers, one of the people who is at Nat Geo, who brings us all of these wonderful images regularly, is Corey Richards. Corey, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Thanks. How's it going?
It's going great. You know, I'm a big Nat Geo fan, big Earth and animal fan, so I love seeing this book. And I just kind of opened it up and tried to find a couple of photos, but I thought it would be best to ask you, what are your favorites from this book?
Oh, gosh. Now, that's like the worst question to ask me at this hour. Like, picking a favorite, that's kind of impossible. I thumb through it. It's on my coffee table at home. I tend to go towards people photos. I'm super fascinated by humans. And, I mean, a lot of times people go, well, do you photograph animals or humans? Or, you know, and I say, well, I think we're kind of the most interesting animal. So so I gravitate towards pictures of the human family. But there's something in it for everybody.
Yeah, there are. And, you know, humans and animals together, there's one that I like with the little schoolboys next to the, it looks like the emperor penguins. It brings to, you know, mind, how do you guys take these photos? How does this image jump onto your camera and into a book like this?
Well, honestly, I think, you know, assignment photography for Geographic is, it's really more a matter of access, we've always sort of, I'm pretty young. I haven't been with Geographic for very long, but one thing that's hammered into me time and time again by my photo editor is trying to tell, unexpected stories. So looking for moments that are relatable but somehow completely unexpected. And, moments like the one you're talking about of the little boys next to the emperor penguins, you know, who knows what's actually going on there. I think that's actually from our archive. But, it's an unexpected moment that's also very relatable. So I honestly believe that those things come simply from just a lot of time in the field and sort of an endless pursuit of something that we're not expecting to see, but something that somehow we can all relate to.
There are so many magazines and so many institutions and places like yours. I really shouldn't say that because there's really nothing like National Geographic, at least in my mind. But everybody's trying to stay relevant over the years. And National Geographic, I remember as a young boy on Sunday evening, it was the program to watch. And now you're on Instagram and social media. How have these new forms of media helped National Geographic stay relevant?
Well, honestly, I actually think they're probably one of the most important things we as an organization are doing. And I say that because, we have this sort of cultural ADHD that's pervasive. We have so much content that's just coming at us as humans right now. But Geographic relies sort of on these principles of, you know, educate, inspire, engage, you know. And what it's doing for us is offering a louder voice throughout our sort of culture. And because of that, you know, and because of the quality of the content, that ADHD is sort of slowed down for just a second. And people can really get into images on our feeds and things like that where, you know, and then because of that, our message is able to scream a little bit louder. And I think that's important. That's helping people, you know, if they haven't engaged with Geographic on sort of the print level, it's helping them engage on that, you know, on the social level. But most importantly, it's helping people engage with our message, and it's helping that message spread. I mean, it really is just a call to action.
We began our broadcast today sort of with a sobering note from Stephen Hawking, who says that we as humans will not survive another 1,000 years on this planet without escaping it or doing something to fix what's happening. And then we switch to climate change and the Paris Agreement in jeopardy, perhaps. Is that the mission of Nat Geo? Because when I see these photographs from around the globe and see all of the different things, I am called to action every day to just be very nervous and worried about the future of our planet. Is that part of the mission?
Well, you know, I mean, without being political at all, I think that's all of our missions, you know. It's not about, you know, what one side is doing or the other. It's really about looking at it holistically. I mean, of course, I think our mission is to simply illuminate the things that are happening globally, and part of that is climate change. There's no way around that. This is not something that, you know, people saying, well, I don't believe in climate change, is somebody, it's very akin to somebody saying, well, I don't believe in gravity. You know, it's okay, that's your right to not believe that, but it doesn't make it true. You know, you're entitled to your own opinions, but you're not entitled to your own facts. And that's something very, very important. But our goal is not to take sides in anything. It's simply to show it and allow people to arrive at their own opinions. And hopefully we're carrying the right information there, and I think we are. But, yeah, absolutely, we want to inspire people to act in accordance with that betters our collective human family and hopefully our planet.
And to end on a positive note, it just amazes me every year that I see the, you know, all of the new species that are discovered. We're still discovering this planet. I can't imagine that we would lose it.
I mean, there's so much out there, but also it's so funny. You know, I often talk when I'm speaking about you know, people living under this infinite sky, and it gives us the sense that everything is infinite, but in fact the planet is very, very finite, and yet we're still discovering it, and at an alarming rate we're losing it as well. We're losing species every day to extinction, and we need to be aware of these things, and that's our job. That's our job at Geographic, is to bring it to light. It doesn't always have to be serious. It can be playful and fun, and it should be, but we also have to be educated, and you know, that's the most important thing. This is our home, this is our planet, and we need to work really hard to take care of it.
Corey Richards is a National Geographic photographer and adventurer. Corey, thanks for being with us this morning here on The Opening Bell.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Again, you can follow also, it's called Nat Geo, the most popular Instagram photos. You must go to join their Instagram feed right away. And the wonderful thing about this book is, even though these are photographs that appeared on Nat Geo's Instagram feed, it comes in a really good hardback coffee table size. I mean, that's the book, right? And that's how it sounds. So, a wonderful gift for the holidays, a gift of our planet.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Today, Dow futures up just 15 points. They've been going back and forth from negative to positive since we've been on the air at 5 o'clock. S&P up a little bit. NASDAQ futures higher as well now. Let's get the latest on markets, commodities, and agriculture. Here is Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we look at yesterday's trade, the strongest market seemed to be in the livestock trade at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. The live cattle futures reached their highest level in 2 months, thanks to help from fund buying and some better-than-expected cash prices in yesterday's trade. So at the end of the day, the December live cattle contract was up $2.75 a hundredweight. The January feeder cattle contract was up $2.40. And lean hog futures also helped by some fund buying yesterday, and it moved higher for the day, with the nearby December lean hog contract up $1.92 a hundredweight. Different story in the grain market yesterday. As the bountiful harvest, the record numbers are beginning to take a toll on strength in soybeans and in wheat and corn. Soybeans yesterday, we saw the January soybean contract down 3¾ cents. December corn ended down 3 cents, and December wheat fell 2 cents a bushel in yesterday's trade. The livestock market will be looking forward to tomorrow's cattle on feed report to see if those numbers are above or below expectations. And right now, we're getting ready for the holiday period that will impact market trading days and certainly impact demand for various agricultural products, and add to that the uncertainty over what's ahead under the Trump administration, and you'll have volatility and uncertainty in the marketplace for the next few weeks. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
You have a good day as well, Orion. Now the Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Thursday, November 17th, 2016. The Labor Department will report on how many first-time applications for unemployment benefits were filed last week. Also, reports on consumer prices for October. Government will reveal how many new homes were started in October. Freddie Mac will release this week's mortgage rates. Two retailers release quarterly financial results today. Walmart has earnings before the bell, and The Gap after the closing bell today. Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen testifies before the Joint Committee of Congress today, 9 o'clock Chicago time. Also, an announcement could come as early today that J.P. Morgan Chase will pay $200 million to settle allegations that they hired children of the prominent Chinese leaders to win business. And NOAA, the government's National Weather Service, will report today on global climate and offer their analysis for the winter ahead, including whether La Nina or El Nino will impact the United States and global weather patterns. Just some of the things driving the markets today on the Associated Bank Desk Outlook for November 17th, 2016.